Turn with me now in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 62 for our second reading. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. And for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, but for the which thou hast labored, but they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed, to the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh, behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Who says the Bible is not an action-adventure book? Wow, what a passage we've just read. So, I want to remind you where we were back in chapter 61 at the beginning. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach glad tidings, right? Okay, and so notice the prominent place that preaching takes in the church that Messiah is establishing. We saw that in 61. Now notice what it says in chapter 62. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. In other words, there's going to be preaching and preaching and preaching some more. I will not hold my peace. This is Messiah speaking. He is going to speak through his ministers, through his apostles. He's going to continue preaching, and that preaching will not end until Zion becomes a praise throughout the whole world. That's the point that's being made here. Now, some have looked at this passage and they've seen, you know, what they would call postmillennialism. You know, the triumph of the gospel. I think you can understand the triumph of the gospel without being particularly postmillennial. But this triumph is very obvious here. That it comes through specific means is also something that we must see. A little bit later on in the passage, he's going to say what? I've set watchmen on thy walls, and they're going to cry out day and night. They're going to preach and preach and preach. And it is through that preaching that Zion is going to be made a praise and a name throughout the whole world. The ordinance of preaching cannot be denied out of this passage. It is rather pressed, and it is pressed, as we say, in spades here. It is emphasized. When we get to the New Testament, we're not going to see anything different. We're going to see the same thing. Paul is going to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, what? That through the wisdom of this world, the wise men knew not God, but God through the foolishness of preaching has confounded the wise and brought his people to himself. Through the foolishness of preaching. Well, we live in a day when preaching has fallen kind of on hard times. And preachers are largely responsible for that. They haven't spent those labors. They haven't spent and, you know, being spent on the sake of the, or for the sake of the people of God. They'd rather, like it says in Ezekiel 34, they fed themselves upon the sheep rather than feeding the sheep. And preachers have given preaching a bad name. But the Bible doesn't do that. It's errant preachers that do. The Bible lifts up the ordinance of preaching. It is that ordinance by which we learn the whole counsel of God. We learn how to fit it all together. We learn how to understand it and to put it into practice. That's the job of the minister, to preach the gospel, the word, the whole counsel of God, such that the people of God are informed what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. Right? So that's what Isaiah 62 is about. And notice that the Lord Jesus as the preacher, the quintessential preacher here says, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. It is indeed for Zion's advantage that Jesus has established the preaching of his word, that the people of God might listen for his voice in that preaching. He's not going to hold his peace. He has turned his face toward his people to declare unto them his word, that they might become a praise and have a name throughout the whole earth. That's the point that's being made here. So all of these names that come forth, thou shalt be no more termed forsaken, neither shalt thy land any more be termed desolate. Thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. Right? Hephzibah means my delight is in her. Beulah means married, not forsaken. Not a woman forsaken, but a woman married and brought into a household and provided for. And that's how the Lord considers his people. I have set, verse 6, a watchman. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. What a wonderful passage. And the efficacy of preaching. And then notice what it says. The preachers are also supposed to lead the people in prayer. Listen to what it says. And give him no rest until he establish and make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And so those preachers are also supposed to lead the people of God in prayer, that we give God no rest. We are like that widow in the parable there in Luke, what is it, chapter, I don't know, 18, 17, something like that, where there's this unjust judge who fears not God or man. But I got this widow, and she's always banging on my door. The Lord says, give me no rest like that until I make Jerusalem a praise and a name in the earth. What a great promise, right? That's the end of those prayers. We have a sure end. All right, so then beyond that, in verse 8, notice, the Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength. And often in Scripture, the right hand and the arm of the Lord's strength is a metaphor, a sign, if you will, of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord has sworn by his strength, surely I will not give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies. But those enemies that have taken your corn and those enemies that have drunk your wine, they're going to come in and they're going to be your friends. That's what it says here. They which have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. They that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Those enemies, those strangers that you think have spoiled you, they haven't spoiled you at all. They're about to become you. That's what the Lord is saying there. Throughout the whole world, people will be coming to me, the Lord says. They will come into Jerusalem in the courts of my holiness. All right, and then notice the emphasis here, the repetition. Go through the gates. Prepare the way of the people. Cast up the highway and gather out the stones and lift up a standard for the people. You see what's being said there, right? What does it mean to gather out the stones? Well, what's it like riding in a wagon when you got big rocks on the road? Not very comfortable. You might be inclined to go another way. You might be inclined to stop riding on that road. That's just too rough. What does the Lord say here? Take those stones out of the way. Cast up that highway. Prepare that way. Make it, let me say it this way. Facilitate the road, the inroads to Jerusalem. Facilitate those inroads so that that preaching might be heard, so that Jerusalem might be built, so that she might become that praise in the world. That's what's being said here. This is marvelous and grand prophetic language pertaining to the victory of Messiah in His church. This is what the latter chapters of Isaiah are all about. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. Notice that both things are true here. This is what maybe some folks have a hard time reconciling. The Lord is proclaiming to the end of the world. But what's he proclaiming to the end of the world? That it's still Zion. That it's still the religion of the Lord. It's not, we're going to proclaim to the end of the world, bring in all your gods. It's whatever your gods are. No. It's to the end of the world, but it is still the true religion that is being proclaimed to the end of the world. And the writer here sees exactly no conflict between those. Rather, that's what the world looks like toward the end of the reign of Messiah. And then finally, they shall call them the holy people. Them, the Gentiles, they're going to be called the holy people? Yes. Yes, they are. They shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. Or Hephzibah and Beulah, once again. All right, thus ends the reading then of Isaiah chapter 62.